you have your Bibles, open them up to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter number 14. Very, very familiar portion of Scripture here tonight. I'm going to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart and much needed verses in these days that we're living in. I mean, it seems like every time you turn around, something else is going on. But I'm glad that we serve a God that's in control and He knows what's going on. And when you find your place, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? I'm thankful that we have an answer tonight to all of life's problems. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible said. We got an inspired, infallible Word of God. I'm thankful that He can use His Word, my friend, tonight to encourage you. That's what I want to do tonight, is come by to True Gospel Baptist Church and encourage your hearts. And I pray God would speak to your heart and bless your heart tonight. Let's look at the Word of God. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we not know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm interested in the first verse number one there, where we'll draw our text from tonight, on those first few words Jesus says to His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I want to preach with the help of the Lord tonight, beloved, on "Let not your heart be troubled." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank You tonight for allowing us to be back in the house of God, Lord, and worship You in spirit and truth. Father, we thank You for the Spirit of God that's already working and ministering on behalf of You, Lord. We thank You for that. Lord, we ask You tonight, may the Spirit of God work in our hearts. Lord, I pray if maybe somebody's discouraged, despondent, downhearted, God, I pray tonight that the Spirit of God would work and minister to that heart. Lord, I pray You'd encourage us, God. Lord, we need some encouragement in these dark days, God. But I'm glad that You're still the same. You're in control. Lord, I pray that You do a work tonight in our hearts. Lord, I pray You take this old vessel, Lord. Touch these lips of clay. God, I pray You cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with Thy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for liberty tonight. I pray, God, that You touch Brother Rick as he's away and touch the other request that's been made known tonight. Father, we'll thank You and praise You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm going to have to take these things off. They're going to get fogged up and I cannot see. Brother Butch, I was picking, but you're getting older. I'm having to get a little older myself, having to get glasses. I had to get glasses so I could get my CDL. So I understand as I get older, it's harder to see. But anyway, I had to take them off because I won't be able to see. But anyway, John chapter 14, and we'll see here in every part of the world where the gospel has been preached, these first six verses in this chapter are perhaps more loved by more people than any other passage you'll find in the Word of God. Now, this passage is extremely rich in precious truth, and ever since the day that Jesus spoke these words, they have been dear to the hearts of the believers as you and me. These verses have been read in hospital rooms, at gravesides, in times of distress and tribulation. These verses have enlightened, comforted, and encouraged you and I that's read these verses here. Now, the words given here by the Savior in this chapter surpasses all other others for depth, tenderness, and encouragement. Thank God for the Word of God here. Now, we should keep in mind and understand what's taking place here in John chapter number 14. It's a continuation of John chapter 13. Now, if you go and study, I wish I had time to bring out this. I mean, I'm telling you, the more I look at John 13, 14, 15, 16, the more I fall in love with my Savior. because of what he was facing and what he was going through for me and you. If you look at the first verse in chapter number 13, the Bible says he loved them to the end. And man, if you study that out, I'm telling you, if you don't get blessed, your wood's wet. It talks about how God loved his own unto the end. And I thank God that his love did not change like me and you. Our love may change, but I'm glad his love has never changed. Amen. We may be up one day, down the next, but I'm glad we serve a God that never changes, that loved us even unto the end. Amen. I'm glad he's not changed. And here, John does not, the writer here does not mention about the supper. It says in supper being ended. Now, God knows why he had him not to write on that, but he focused more what happened after there. And you go through there, you'll read where he began to take himself and became a servant and began to wash the disciples' feet. Then he begins to tell about Judas that he's going to betray him. And he goes through and he's telling them that he's about to go to a place where they cannot go. And they could not understand why he was going somewhere where they could not go. My mind went to where my son is and how he thinks about it. If me or my mom, me and Jessica were to leave, or she would go somewhere, he would get all tore up and all upset. He would cry because he could not go to where she was going. And my mind thought, that's what the disciples were. Here they were being told, Jesus is about to leave and I'm going to a place you cannot go. The discouragement that was in their heart, the doubt that was in their mind, and the despondency they were in and what they were facing. And then he tells old Peter, he says, by the way, Peter, you're going to deny me thrice before the cock will crow. Could you think about that? Jesus tells them that he's about to depart. Now, understand, there's no break in between the last verse here of verse 13 and the first verse of chapter 14. Thank God that 13 is not the ending point, amen. Jesus knew what was in their heart, and he began to give this tender, heart-searching address to his 11 disciples on the last night he spent with them before his death. And it was given them to strengthen them for the anxious hours of darkness and despair that lay ahead of them. Jesus, in his foreknowledge, my friend, understand, no other person could have spoken these words that Jesus has spoke to them that night. You say, how do you understand that? Understand, man would have been thinking of his own sufferings. The disciples weren't thinking about Jesus. They were thinking about their own discouragement and despair that they were in. Jesus, in his foreknowledge, knew he would be arrested, tried, condemned, and put to death. But Jesus also knew the sorrow and the anxiety that they were going to be facing, my friend. He knew that they were going to be perplexed and troubled. And though they were going to be, and in spite of his own sorrow, he was thinking of them. When he was really on the cross, we were on his mind. But even before the cross, we were already on his mind. He was thinking of them. And not just the disciples, but praise God, he was thinking about you and me as well, amen. He knew that the day we would live in, we would need some encouragement in this day. We live in a troublesome world. Even the most spiritual Christian has trouble, heartaches, and disappointments. You say, how do you know that? Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I mean, it seems like every time we turn around, there's discouragement on on the way. There's heartaches coming. There's burdens, my friend. There's sickness. There's pain everywhere you look. I mean, it seems like we can't even go a week without something coming, my friend. We've seen some hard days in 2020 so far. I mean, I never thought we'd see something that would shut down America, my friend. I've never seen a day where so many things are coming and coming and coming. But God knew we would have to find some encouragement in the Word of God. And we find these words, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus opened this discourse with the comforting words, let not your heart be troubled. And my, oh my, what comfort they are. I've always prayed the Lord would give me an experience before I understood something, before I could preach it. And I'm telling you here tonight, by experience, I'm preaching this because I've been in a place of despondency, of discouragement just a few days ago. You say, what do you mean? Understand, when this pandemic hit, March the 15th, we were in church, my friend. In a matter of just a few days after that Sunday morning, seven people tested positive in our church with the virus, my friend. Three of them got so sick they had to be put in the hospital. One of them was our pastor. He got so sick he had to become on a ventilator because it was not looking good. Another man, he got so sick it took him and it shut his kidneys down and he went home to be with the Lord. The other man spent 40 days on the ventilator, my friend. I'm telling you, it's like it just ravaged our church. And I mean, it began to break my heart. And then my brother Reuben had just passed away. And then they were telling us that they're not sure about my pastor. And then that Wednesday night, we were having Zoom services online while we were at home. And they were telling us that Brother Ronnie may not make it through the night. And my heart just began to break, thinking, oh Lord, what are we going to do? We're going to lose our pastor. We may lose another member. I had a friend that was texting me. His wife was leaving him at this time. And I mean, it just seemed like the whole weight of the world was on my shoulders and trying to bear and pray and touch them. And I just remember I went to bed that night and I got so brokenhearted. I could not sleep. I was tossing and turning. I literally got out of the bed and just got on my face before God. I could not say anything. I was just weeping, my friend. I'm glad that God understands the language of tears, though, amen. I'm glad we have an adversary. We have one that can intercede on our behalf. And all I could do was just weep. I could not say nothing. All I could think about was that my pastor's wife could not be with her husband, my friend. My brother Ronnie was up there by himself, and I was just weeping and weeping and weeping. Literally, I got up. I didn't have nothing left in me, and I went to bed. Laid down. I was just so wore out, I just fell asleep. The next day, I woke up. First thing I saw a pastor friend of mine on social media, and he said these words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Spirit of God began to speak into my heart. He says, "I got this, Brother Daniel. Don't be down. Don't be discouraged." And it was just a few moments after I heard that. They said Brother Ronnie had made it through the night. Boy, that encouraged me. It gave me the faith that I needed and the encouragement I needed for that very moment. I'm here to tell you tonight, we've seen some hard days, but I'm here to tell you, praise God, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let fear grip your heart. Don't let distress and discouragement and anxiety get a hold of you. We serve a God that says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm here to tell you tonight that on the seeing what God has done, our pastor's back preaching, praise God. Brother Ronnie, tomorrow we'll be getting to come home. I'm telling you what a good God we serve. What a strong God we serve. I'm glad we can look to Him, amen. I don't understand how this world makes it. I mean, there's trouble everywhere. It seems like there's things going on, protests and all this mess. But I'm glad that God said, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm glad that He said, hey, look to me and I can encourage you. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Thank God we find a divine remedy for the age-old disease of heart trouble. And I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm talking about the spiritual heart. We find the age-old remedy here in these verses, my friend. Now, I'm talking about that kind of heart trouble that takes away the joy that you and I have in our heart and that we're rightfully entitled to. This remedy is found in these verses tonight. And with the help of the Lord, beloved, I want to preach on this thought. Let not your heart be troubled. I pray God would encourage you through this message tonight. Yes, we're living in troublesome days. Yes, we're living in some hard days. But I'm glad we don't have to be down and out. We can be encouraged by the Lord, amen, if we let Him. If we'll let Him, He can encourage our heart. We can leave out of here saying, I don't have to worry about what's going on. I can be encouraged because the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, the first thing I see in this message why we shouldn't have to let our heart be troubled is, number one, you and I have a believing heart. A believing heart. You say, what do you mean? Let not your heart be troubled. What comfort them words are. He said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, the despondency and the discouragement of the disciples was evidence that though they believed in God, they did not believe what God had told them. You say, what do you mean? The Old Testament, many times God was prophesying that this man named Jesus was going to come in this world, born of a virgin, my friend, walk this earth, be sinless, my friend, and die for your and my sins. I mean, it was many, you can study it out all through the Old Testament concerning this Messiah named Jesus. They did not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as a lamb, was that glorious Messiah and King. Isaiah clearly points it out that he was coming in Isaiah 53 to die for your sins and mine. God clearly spelled it out to them. Even though the fact that the Lord Jesus would come as a lamb to be rejected, despised, wounded, smitten of a God and afflicted. Many other passages in the Old Testament tell of his sufferings that were to come. Now, they did not believe or accept what the prophets had said about the cross before the crown. They knew the Messiah was coming. They thought he was going to take the kingdom then. But that's not so. He had to come and die for you and me, for the sins of the world. John said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. They did not understand about this sufferings he had to face. They thought he was going to have the crown, but he had to go to the cross before he receives his crown. Not only did God, through the writers of the Old Testament, give them warning as to what would occur, but Jesus himself explained to them that he must suffer and go to the cross for you and me and be lifted up and crucified. Yes, they were troubled because he wasn't going to set up the kingdom yet, but instead was going to Calvary, and that they could not go with him. Yes, they were troubled because one of them was going to betray the Lord. And Peter was troubled because Jesus told him he would deny him. But I'm glad God did not leave them hanging. He did not leave them in the discouragement and despondency. But he gave some comforting words to them. And I'm glad it looks dark tonight, my friend. I mean, we're living in some dark days. But I'm glad we can look to the Word of God and get some encouragement and get some help from him. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm glad tonight we don't have to let our heart be troubled. We can believe in Jesus, amen, for who he is and what he's done and what he will do, amen. He said, believe also in me. What he was saying here when he was speaking to them disciples was those words to his disciples. He was saying to them, yes, have faith in God, but have faith in me as the Son of God. They had walked with him and talked with him during his years of public ministry. They believed him to be the promised Messiah. But remember, they were believing on one who was in the midst of them. One who had been their daily companion and one whom they had fellowshiped intimately throughout their discipleship. But now, Jesus was soon to leave them, to leave the earth and return to his Father. Jesus would be soon invisible insofar as the natural eye is concerned. So he's saying to them, here you believe in God. You believe God is invisible. You have never seen him. Yet you are conscious of his love and your mercy and his care. Even though you have never physically seen God, you have never touched him, you believe in him. In the same manner, you must believe in me. He said, you must have confidence and faith in me, confidence in my love, in my care for you, even after I am crucified. Understand, disciples, death cannot hold me. I will rise again and will ascend unto my Father where I came from. He said, God's invisible, but you believe in him. Now in the same way, believe in me. Believe these things that shall come to pass as I have told you. And he's telling you and me to believe in him, my friend. I'm glad we can put our faith in the Lord, amen. We should believe in him exactly as we believe in God. He is just as much God as God himself is. He's co-equal with God, amen. He said, I'm glad that we can trust him and put our faith in him. We cannot put our faith in a politician. We cannot put our faith in money. We cannot put our faith in anything else. It will fall, my friend. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Amen? All others sink in frame. All others sink in sand. Thanks God. Thank be unto God. The cure for anxiety and of a troubled heart is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Politics change. The world changes, as you can see. People change. But we serve a God that does not change. Amen. Put your faith in Him. He'll never, never, no, never disappoint you. Can I say tonight, I've never been one time disappointed in Him. I may disappointed Him, but He's never once disappointed me. He's never once let me down. We serve a God that cannot fail. Amen. We can put our faith and our trust in Him because He is always, as my wife said, all the promises He's ever made just came true. I mean, everything He's done has been true, my friend. And I'm glad He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Friends will let you down. My family may let you down. But I'm glad we have a Savior who will never let you down. You say, Brother Daniel, what's the cure for a troublesome heart? To believe in God. You will notice that He did not say, believe in my deity. He did not say, believe me personally. These men were Jews, and the Jews did not understand about the Trinity. They believed in one God. They believed in the unity of God, but they did not understand about the three persons of the Godhead. Therefore, Jesus wanted them to believe in Him exactly as they believed in God. He knew that such faith would put an end to their anxiety and that they would experience the peace of God. Faith is the answer for perplexity, anxiety, and the distresses of the soul and spirit. Can I tell you, when you get troubled, just have faith in God. And I'm telling you what, there'll be a peace that comes over you, that peace that passeth all understanding. Faith is the answer to every problem of the believer. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We are saved by grace through faith. The just shall live by faith, and whatsoever of faith is sin. So have faith in God, amen. Remember what Jesus told Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired that he may sift you as wheat. But notice what he said. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Brethren, notice he prayed for him's faith. I'm thankful that we have a God that can give us faith. Faith is the key to all this, my friend. Having faith in who He is, what He said He'll do, and you take Him at His word, that's what faith is. You couldn't get saved without faith. You had to believe who He is and what He did and what He said He'll do for you. My friend, we got to live by faith. Have faith in the Lord. Understand He's in control tonight. He knows what's going on. He's not sitting up there twiddling His thumbs. We serve a God that's sovereign, my friend. He knows what's going on. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, there is a God in heaven tonight and He's in control. There's nothing going on that He doesn't know about. Has it ever occurred to you? Nothing's ever occurred to Him. He's never just, oh, I never thought of that. God's sovereign, my friend, and He's in control. And I'm telling you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, we don't have to let our heart be troubled because we can put our faith in God. Amen. Understand, He is sovereign, my friend. Believe in His perfect and infinite wisdom. Believe in His unchanging faithfulness. Amen. Believe in His love that cannot be measured. I'm telling you tonight, the first thing that will help your troubled heart is have a believing heart in God. He's telling them disciples, hey, believe in God, but believe also in me. Because I'm going to do some things, my friend. I got to go away, but I'm coming back, amen. He said, number one, to have a cure for the troubled heart is have a believing heart. But then He reminds them, number two, about a beautiful home that's awaiting on the other side. Notice what He said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go and prepare a place for you. Praise God. I'm glad we got a beautiful home waiting on us on the other side. Now, He said, in my Father's house. He's talking about the Lord's house, amen. The Father's house is the third heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere just above us. The second heaven holds the planets and the constellations. The third heaven is above all heavens. The Father's house there is an expression accommodated to human weakness. You say, why is that? God don't need a house. That's just what we're trying to explain here, my friend. God literally needs no house with a roof and floor such as we live in. But His dwelling place is referred to as God's house because this is the only language that we can understand. Understand, God is a person. The Bible speaks of His eyes, His voice, His arms, His feet. But He's an eternal spirit. And He is everywhere. Therefore, He don't need no home. When you think of the Father's house, you think of security, you think of warmth, you think of joy, you think of peace, amen. Heaven is all those things and much, much more. I say amen, amen, and amen. Thank God one day we'll go to the Father's house. I'm telling you, when I got saved, there was nothing greater. When I get off work and I get to go to my Father's house, my Father down here. But think about it, one day, soon and very soon, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father's house, amen. We're going to go above all the stars and the planets, and we're going to go be with Him, amen. Then He said, not only He mentioned about His Father's house, but He mentions there's many mansions there. Notice He said mansions, He didn't say mansion. The Greek word for mansions literally means an abiding place. Modern translations have took away house and mansions and say room. But I'm glad. I don't believe in a God, Brother Butch, who spoke a world like ours into being would build rooms for His children to dwell forever. That does not sound like the God I love and I serve, amen. That's why I'm glad we have a perfect Word of God. It doesn't say rooms, but it says a mansion, amen. We got mansions over there on the other side. Then He goes on to tell him, hey, you got a beautiful home here. And He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus was referring to His disciples as little children here, as a father speaks to them as a basis, as a father might assure His children that He would keep His word. I have to do that myself now. Just the other night, my wife had to tell me to keep on telling my son because Liam's 2 years old now, and that boy bounces off the housetop and just wide open, and he loves airplanes now. He heard this song, and he'll be singing it, singing airplane, airplane, and all that. And the other night, this airplane, I didn't know what was going on until later, but this airplane could not land. So it would circle around about every 10 to 15 minutes, and I mean, it felt like it was right above the roof, and my son would hear it and go, airplane, airplane. I have to run outside and go tell him, and we might miss it. I'll say, well, son, we'll catch the next one. I had to reassure him that we catch the next one. Sure enough, the next one came. We go running back outside. He'd see it. It was like he's never saw one for the first time and just so excited and seeing them airplanes. And I thought about, that's what Jesus did to His children. He was reassuring them. He said, yes, my Father's house, they are mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you so. I'm glad we serve a God that cannot lie. I'm glad He reassures us some things in this life. I'm glad we serve a God that helps us when we need it. He was telling them He did this to comfort them and to reassure them that even though they could not go with Him at this time, He would come to them later and they would be with Him forevermore. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Notice the preparations of this beautiful home here. I go to prepare a place for you. God always prepares for His own. He has never allowed His people to enter into a place that was not prepared for them. Brother Butch, I read that and I had a little leap in my soul thinking about that. You say, how do you know that? Look at the Old Testament. God prepared a garden, my friend, for Adam and Eve. The Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden and He prepared a place for them. He prepared a place for His created man and placed Adam in the garden. The same was true for Israel, my friend. When they entered into the land of Canaan, God had it prepared just for them. God always prepared the way for Israel when they served Him, looked to Him, and kept His word. And I'm glad on the authority of the Word of God, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm glad that for the child of God, He's got a prepared place for a prepared people. Amen. But notice this. This got me. The mansions were already there when Jesus spoke those words. When He said, I go to prepare a place for you. You say, well, what's the home that's waiting on us? Yes, that's an abiding place when we go to heaven. But what Jesus has gone to prepare for you and me is what's found in Revelation chapter number 21. That's that pearly white city, amen. He's gone to prepare that place for you and me. And this will be the home of the church, and we will abide there forever, my friend. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about when that new Jerusalem comes down. That's that city, my friend, that me and you are going to abide in forever. We will also be able to go back to the Father's house at any time. But for the church, our home will be that pearly white city. Amen. Thank God for that. We will enter a place specially prepared for you and me. We're going to be so happy when we enter that celestial city. What a comforting thought to know that Jesus Himself is preparing this place for you and me. He's been gone for a long time. Think about it, Brother Butch. He could speak that city into existence, but yet He's taking His time to work on it to just for me and you. Why? Because He loves us. I'm telling you here tonight, you may live in a shack. You may live in a rented house. You may not have much of this world's goods, but be of good cheer, amen. You have a home over there where Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you and me. I'm glad it's not going to be a shack, amen. It's going to be a beautiful place that He's made for you and me. You may rest assured that it will be there when you arrive. No one can take it from you, amen. Your internal inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled, and it will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And I say amen, amen, and amen. We got a home that awaits us on the other side, amen. One of these days, soon and very soon, He's going to burn this old mud pile, make it anew. That city's coming down, and you and I are going to dwell in that city forever and ever and ever, amen. Why? We don't have to have a troubled heart tonight. Number one, we can have a believing heart. But number two, we need to be reminded we got a beautiful home that awaits us on the other side. But number three tonight, and lastly, we have a blessed hope. I'm glad we're not like men that's most miserable. We have a hope tonight, amen. That hope is as an anchor of the soul. It's both sure and steadfast, amen. What's the hope? Well, Jesus answered that very clearly. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, amen, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a hope we have tonight. I'm glad I'm not like a lost man who has no hope and they're men most miserable. But my hope's in Him coming back and taking me to be where He's at, amen. Jesus is not trusting anyone else to prepare that place for us. Praise God. Nor will He trust anyone else to come for His bride. He Himself's going to come. He's going to split that sky and come to us. He will come in person to direct us to that place He has prepared for us. The church is the great pearl, the pearl of great price. It is the most prized possession Jesus has. And He will Himself come for the church and call His people to meet Him in the air. You say, how do you know that? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you, that excites me with seeing what's going on today. I'm glad soon and very soon He's coming again, amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm here to comfort you tonight and encourage you soon and very soon that eastern sky is going to split. He's going to say, come up hither. And you and I are going to be gone, amen. the dead in Christ is going to rise. Then you and I, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together. Amen. We'll be with Him. We'll be reunited again with those that's gone on before. But we'll be with Him. Amen. The promise here in our present verse is to be distinguished from the return of Jesus in glory to judge the earth and set up His kingdom. There's a difference from the rapture and the second coming. We're going to go up in the rapture, amen. We're going up to the rapture, but we're coming back with Him in the second coming, amen. Don't misunderstand that. Now, He's coming for His saints in the rapture, and then in the second coming, we're coming with Him, amen. Thanks be unto God. He said, I will come again. I'm telling you, man, we're living in a sad day. I'm glad when He comes back, we won't have to be crammed down our throat with LGBTQ and all that mess. We won't have to have agendas pushed on us. We won't have to worry about another blood pressure pill. We'll have to worry about another heartache, another burden, another tear. When He comes, we'll be like Him, amen. No more heartaches, no more tears, no more pain. God will wipe away all those tears. In the former things, there'll be no more death, no more sickness, no more heartaches, no more pains, no more letdowns, my friend. We'll be with Him, amen. And we'll be like Him. Won't have to worry about being another heartache. Won't have to worry about another cancer. Won't have to worry about another chemo treatment. I'm saying to God be the glory. He's coming for us, amen. Soon and very soon. We'll have to worry about no Democrats, no Republicans anymore. We'll have to worry about no more crimes, no more riots, no more looting. It'll all be over when He comes and takes us home. Not only is He coming again, but notice what He said, and receive you unto Myself. You see, right now we're in the age and the dispersion where the Holy Spirit abides in the believer. He comforts us. He guides us in this day and hour. But when the rapture happens, the Holy Spirit will be drawn out from this earth and we'll be with the One who redeemed us and bought us with His precious blood, who took our sins upon Him, who's worthy to be praised, my friend. We'll be with Him. This will be the crowning day for Jesus because He will receive the church unto Himself. He'll come for His bride, amen. And will receive Him unto Himself. And then He said that where I am, there ye may be also. John the Beloved tells us in Revelation 21 of that celestial city, how beautiful it's going to be, 1,200 by 1,200 by 1,200. There'll be 12 gates, my friend, 12 pearls. The streets will be transparent gold. It will indeed be a glorious place. But beloved, the most glorious thing of all is that we'll be with the One. We'll be with the One who redeemed us, who washed us in His precious blood, who laid His life down for you and me. The best thing about it is we'll be with Him, amen. We'll see the scars and nail prints in His hands. We'll see what He did for you and me. We'll be with the One who loved us with an everlasting love, even when we were unlovable. That One who loved us despite of who we are. We'll be with Him. What an ensuring and comforting fact are the words of Jesus. His promise that we will be with Him. And not just for a short moment of time, Brother Butch. We'll be with Him forever and ever and ever, amen. Fellowship will not be broken anymore. Thank God for that. There'll be no more parting, amen. There'll be no more passing away. All these things will be gone. Jesus Christ. All those who have exercised faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ have assurance that one day they will enter to the place that Jesus is preparing for us and will abide with Him in that eternal home in unbroken fellowship. I say glory to God. I'm telling you that's a running well in my soul. We don't have to be troubled tonight. Let not your heart be troubled, child of God. Why? Because you can have a believing heart. Believe in Jesus. Believe what He did. Believe what He said He's going to do. I'm telling you, He's coming sooner now than He ever has. He's coming, my friend. And I know some of y'all have heard that all your life. But I'm telling you, we're closer to the coming of the Lord than we ever been. It's high time we awake, my friend. We don't need to be down and disheartened. Be encouraged. He's coming, amen. Because we don't have to have a troubled heart because we can have a believing heart, believing in who He is. We got a beautiful home that's waiting us on the other side. And then we have a blessed hope. Man, all this mess is going on. I'm glad one day we won't have to worry about another riot. We won't have to worry about locking our doors. We won't have to worry about crimes and shootings and mass murders and all this stuff because He's coming to take us home. Where we're going won't be no more sin. Sin won't be present. Satan will be locked up and he'll be thrown in the pit. Then he'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. Won't have to worry about no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sickness. Thanks be unto God. Therefore, tonight I say to the discouraged soul who may have heard this message, let not your heart be troubled, child of God. The Lord knows your anxiety and your sorrow, and He possesses the power and wisdom and grace and goodness to supply your every need and satisfy your every earnest desire. He's the eternal God. Can I remind you, He's still on the throne to rule and work in the affairs of men. And He will see to it that all things work together for good for His own. He is able to give you joy, peace, and victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Are you discouraged and cast down, dear believer? The psalmist said this best, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Why? Because God is our refuge. There is no cause for fear or of a troubled heart when trials or circumstances come. We need to remember that the Lord is looking down upon us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? 365 times you'll find in the Word of God, fear not. Child of God, fear not. Child of God, if you have anxiety, if you're discouraged tonight, God said, let not your heart be troubled. You know how you can cure that troubled heart? By looking unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. If you're looking at this world's goods and all this world, you're going to have a troubled heart. But I'm telling you, look upon the One. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Yes, everything's gone crazy. But let's keep our focus on Him. That's how we can have, not have to have a troubled heart. I'm glad that God knew in His omniscience that what would be going on even today when He spoke to them disciples. I'm glad the Word of God is very true even for today. Child of God, let not your heart be troubled. He's coming soon. Just keep your eyes on Him. Remember, when Peter was walking on the water, when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. And when we take our eyes and our hearts and our minds off of Him, we'll begin to sink and get a troubled heart. But I'm glad if we'll put our mind and our eyes back on Him, He can help us not to have a troubled heart. So again, tonight I'm saying, let not your heart be troubled. Father, Lord, I pray you take the Word of God, speak to hearts tonight. Bless in this invitation time, Father, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.